What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm Jeremy Jackson. I've got Ryan Collins here with me. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform, and it's going to focus a lot on assessing my squat and cueing so that I can help cue my athletes. I've got one of my ACL kids here, so he can kind of watch too. He's helping out with the podcast. So, Lewis, thanks for being here. And if you want to check out that video, it's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform. Got Ryan Collins, and we're going to kind of just start off with talking about the squat, the preferred squat. We're going to look at my squat, which we've kind of been testing out. And so this is mostly a podcast form. But again, go sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform. I'll have a link to it, or squat form video will take you straight to the YouTube video. So Ryan, back on the podcast.
Yeah, pleasure. Appreciate it.
All right, so tell us about the preferred squat form.
Well, so ideally, you know, a squat is a great strength training exercise that involves the whole body. And so what we want to do is optimize alignment and muscular activation so that you can get the most out of the exercise. It's also an exercise that if we do incorrectly can lead to injury and keep you off the field or keep you from progressing. So I think this is a good opportunity for you, but also any athlete or you know, fitness enthusiast to make sure that they're going into the gym and working out and they're doing the right things and avoiding the sideline, avoiding the injuries that, you know, keep people from progressing. So hopefully we can get some good information out there and add a tool to somebody's toolbox today.
All right, so where are we going to start?
Well, so if you were to come into my PT clinic, I would first say, let me just kind of ask you a few questions about your history, your squatting, what you have in mind for doing, whether it's just getting stronger, if it's I'm trying to improve my athleticism, or I can't squat right, I feel something wrong, I want to try and get it fixed. So first I'd say, all right, Jeremy, how long have you been squatting?
I've been working out since I was probably 19. I'm just turned 37. However, squats have never been a regular part of my exercise. So I've just started incorporating them probably within the last year to help, honestly, to help increase the overall strength of my body. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I want to, hey, I want to be able to squat 400 pounds, or hey, you know, I want my jeans to fit tight or anything like that. I'm really only doing it because it's a good functional movement that helps improve the overall strength of the rest of the body.
Okay. And do you have any problems? Do you have any injuries that I should know about? Do you have any injuries from squatting that I should know about?
No injuries from squatting. There is a pop in my knee, or like a rollover, so maybe just the tendon rollover of the bone, or possibly a meniscus or something like that. Whenever I get past 90 at the knees, and then also a couple years ago I had a right knee hyperextension playing freeze tag at church, mm-hmm. With Vacation Bible School, and so since then it's kind of I've had some right side tightness or weakness in the hamstring calves that I've been working on doing single leg stuff.
Okay. And then does that left knee that you said you kind of feel a pop, does it keep you from adding resistance? Does it keep you from squatting?
Never causes pain. It's just one of those things that causes anticipation.
Okay.
And so I was kind of a little bit hesitant to do the squat because of that. You just feel that, and then it's, I don't know, one of those things you just have to get past.
And it doesn't keep you from going through the motion that you desire.
No.
So you can go as low as you want. Okay. All right, so no issues, no injury. So I'm not expecting you to have any injuries today, no pain. If you do feel anything, obviously as a therapist, I'm going to make sure that you tell me about it. I need to know if something changes, right? If you have pain during any particular movement, any particular test or screen, make sure you tell me so that we can address that, change that. Ideally, when you exercise, there shouldn't be any pain that's going to limit you. So just keep an open mind and keep the feedback coming.
All right.
So first off, I'd say, let me look at your squat. So I want you to stand right here. Let me get out of the way.
You change it to that. All right, so again, I've got the video. I've got four different camera angles set up, one to the front and one on each side of me. And this is, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform video will be the YouTube video. And I think it's going to be the best way. Hopefully you, as the listener or viewer, can see what I'm doing and follow the cues. And then maybe you can reach out to your local physical therapist or somebody and cue your zone. So you want me to just like I would normal squat,
you're
right?
You're in the gym, you're doing your warm-ups, are you ready to go? What's your squat form look like? What do you feel like is your normal squat?
Okay, so normally about shoulder width apart, toes facing mostly forward. When I squat down, I tend to push my knees out, keep my feet planted, and push almost like I'm pushing against a brick wall or something. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I tend to do. Go down, then back up, usually going well past 90 when I squat, because I want it to be more of a functional, like when I squat down to play with my kids, that kind of thing. So.
Okay. And do you feel anything pain-wise, discomfort?
No pain, no discomfort. There was maybe a little bit of right hip tightness when I did that squat, but it may be from working out earlier and doing all the squats with you earlier, or be related to the low back or the right side pain that I have occasionally.
Okay. When you go ahead and squat for me again, all the way down to whatever level you feel, back up. All right. When you're going down and coming back up, squat, do you feel like you have any issues with getting up and down?
I feel I can do it, but I don't feel like I'm solid. Like just doing that, I don't have any weight in my hand right now. So just doing that, I feel I'm a little bit back and forward off balance whenever I'm going up and coming down.
Okay. Let's do one more time.
So right there, I could feel my knees kind of caving in a little bit when I was way down there. And then coming up, I felt pretty solid as far as balance-wise. But
okay. All right, so look down at your feet. You said initially when you first started squatting, you get your feet straight forward. At the end of three squats and your feet haven't moved, what do you see at your feet?
My right toe out.
Your right's moved out. Your right foot has moved out a little bit. Okay. So what I see, guys on the videos, you can see as well, the podcast talk, guys, we're basically, I'm trying to describe my best what I can see. Jeremy's got good form. Initially, he starts as he goes down, his knees start to move first. As he goes down, chest stays up, his logo stays facing forward. As he gets below 90, where his hip crease gets below his knees, he starts to round his back. And at the bottom of his squat, he's got a pretty significant, what we'll call a butt wink or posterior pelvic tilt, where his lumbar spine rounds. And then he comes back up, pretty good form, pretty good balance. Noticeable weight through his heels at the bottom of the squat. A couple of the reps, he had a little bit of a weight shift where you could see his toes come back a little bit. His weight shift back towards his heels a little bit. And ideally, under load, you want to have a really good base underneath you. So that'd be something we need to address so that if he does get loaded and that continues to happen, we can avoid an issue or an imbalance as we come back up. So keep in mind, we saw the right toe out at the end of three squats. So his structural alignment, the way he's built, started to tell him what is going to allow him to get to those desks. So we'll check that out. A little bit of that posterior pelvic tilt, butt wink at the bottom of the squat. So we'll want to see what's causing that potentially. And then that lack of balance, we could talk about the things that potentially have created that lack of balance at the bottom and getting back up.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So after I see somebody squat, no pain, no discomfort, I'm going to say, all right, so what potentially could cause you to have these issues, right? So if we take away everything and we just look at the bony alignment, how God puts you together, right? How your bones are aligned, the structural issues, the structural limitations. I'd want to kind of clear any issues with pain. I'd want to clear any issues with alignment of the bones. So what's causing some of those, we'll call it dysfunction in the squat. So I'd throw you up on the table, have you lay down on your back. All right, so left knee had the pain in it. Right knee had a hyperextension injury. None of those currently are bothering you, correct?
Correct.
All right. So just at rest, the video may not be able to show it as well, but at rest, when he's totally relaxed, he's got a right toe that rolls out and left toe that rolls out. But as we got video, we could see it. I can see it. His right foot rolls out significantly further than his left foot. So that's just kind of something to see when he relaxes, the ideal position of his hips where they want to rest.
You can
kind of see a little bit here. Let me play with it a little bit. So you can kind of see his feet. They're turned out. He's supposed to be totally relaxed. And it's pretty small, but it's a noticeable difference. Right toes rolled out a little bit more than left foot. So as I go through the assessment, what I'm going to look for is him giving me feedback on if there's any pain or discomfort. So just that relaxed position, kind of roll his foot in, roll his foot out. Do you have any pain in your hip when I do that? So I'm just kind of clearing the structures, make sure there's not any injuries in there, some stresses and strains in there that would have caused him any issues or ways to avoid the movement. So totally relaxed knee flexion. Heel touches his butt just about, so obviously knee flexion is not going to be one of our major concerns or restrictions. Okay, hip flexion to 90. Jeremy, I want you to tell me if you feel any discomfort, any pain, or any symptoms as we go up, all right?
All right.
So I'm just going to passively bring his knee straight through 90 degrees as far as I can.
Mostly it feels like it's pulling at my groin,
all right,
testicle area.
All right, so we got a groin strain, adductor pull, adductor tightness likely. All right, so next what I'm going to look at, when I go through passively, his hips, his joints have to move. So as I go up, what I'm looking for, does his back start to round? And what that's telling me is we have two bones. We have the acetabulum of the pelvis and the femur of the hip. As they come in contact with each other, one of them's got to move. And if I'm pushing on his femur, his leg, his pelvis is likely going to try and get out of the way of that. So as we're coming up, pushing up, we get to the point where his knee is past the hip crease. And at that point there, I don't really have any more range to go through. His tailbone's starting to lift up off the table a little bit. You feel that same sort of pinch
Yeah, it's pinching up front.
All right. And so what I'd say is, all right, that's likely the end of his structural motion. So I'm going to just do a little quick abduction and a slight external rotation of the hip. Okay. Open him up in a little bit more open pack position. And then we're going to come up. Okay. Go into that same depth. You feel like it's going a little bit further?
Feels like it's further.
All right.
Definitely more comfortable up top.
Definitely more comfortable up top. So what we can kind of envision anatomically is that we've gotten that femoral neck, the neck of the femur, out of the way of the acetabulum, so that bone isn't coming in contact with the roof. And so what that can tell me is when we stand back up and load him, if we can reposition his right leg in a position that clears that bony impingement, maybe we can alleviate some of that postural change. Let's switch, flip on the other side. Let's take a look at the left leg. So same thing, totally relaxed, rotating in, rotating out, just to kind of clear anything special going on there?
Nope.
Okay. Same idea, clear knee flexion.
Don't feel that pop
in there, yeah?
Yeah.
Any pain with that?
No. Okay. Yeah, every time I do it like that.
Yeah, so we just got a little pop in there on the medial side of his knee. Yeah, you might want to get that checked out, man.
Think so?
All right, so knee flexion is not an issue. There's no pain at end range. All right, I'm going to go passively knee flexion up all the way to 90 degrees. We're past 90. Knees past the hip crease. What do you feel at the top, Jeremy?
It feels just like tightness, like almost like I'm stretching up at the anterior part of the hip.
Okay. Any discomfort whenever I go to full in range mashing?
No.
Not really?
Okay. It feels tighter than the right side. It feels like it doesn't go as far, but.
Okay. All right. And so do the same thing. Slight abduction, external rotation moment at the femur. See if we can clear some of that space. We come up. I feel like I can go a lot further.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not as much restriction anymore.
Yes, all right. I agree.
So, once again, we're kind of getting an idea passively how those structures are aligned. We can get an idea that when we stand up and when we squat, if we want to try and avoid that impingement, or if you want to call the femoral acetabular impingement, that FAI, right, that's common practice, that's commonplace. FAI doesn't mean that you have pain. FAI just, it's just bones meeting bones. It's when the structures in between those bones start to get pissy and mad from getting repetitively compressed. That's whenever pain's produced. So it's not necessarily the diagnosis, but more just the actions that's taking place. So avoid that as much as possible, especially under load. So if we can position your feet and your knees to allow that motion to go through as much unimpingement as possible or reduce the impingement as possible, hopefully we can avoid any resistance issues. All right, so we know his hips can go well past 90. We know if we can position the hips a little bit into an abducted and external rotated position, we can clear some of that impingement and clear some of that motion to allow further motion to go. We do see that the end range, though, his tailbone does start to lift, so we know we're hitting that end range passively. So now that we have a passive assessment, just because we have a passive assessment doesn't mean that we can go through that actively as well. So now we need to see with a little bit more active motion how we're going to move through that. So if you could get on your hands and knees for me.
All right.
So this is a good assessment for a highly stabilized squat. The stabilized squat gives us an idea of which structures we can play with. We can look at the ankle, we can look at the hip, and at the same time get an idea how that affects the back, which is usually the biggest thing that we want to look for in a squat, is what the back is doing, because that tends to be the biggest complaint with squatters. If they're having issues with squatting, it's having back pain. So in a quadruped position, we got a highly stabilized control of the trunk, 4 point of contact, so we don't have to worry so much about motor control, right? So he can pretty much move through all the motion he needs to. So if you could just round your back, let it drop down for me. Good. So that's lordosis. He's got a curve there. We can see he creates that. Now come up into all the way up now, right? So we can see the lumbar curvature. He's got that. Everything moves fine. He moves at the hips. Nothing obviously sticking out. Relax back down. So what we want to find is a slight bit of lordosis, a slight bit of a curve. Okay, nothing crazy. Ideally, we want to make sure that he can maintain a neutral spine when he goes through his motions so that we can keep the joints aligned appropriately. So when we do load him eventually, the compressive forces, those joints are staying in line and absorbing that force as ideal as possible. But this is the key. We want to watch here as he moves through his motion, what changes at his lumbar spine. We can then play with the feet, the ankles, right, to see if we can fix whatever issues we do. So nice and slowly, I want you to get your feet in line with your knees, toes forward, kind of get your foot in a position where it looks like it's flat on the ground, so a little bit of dorsiflexion there. So we're going to imagine the ground's right here. Everything's going to stay in alignment. Nice and slowly, so scoot. So we'll say this is about 90 degrees. See, his deal was when he went past 90 and got down to the bottoms of his depth, he lost that control of his pelvis. So nice and slowly, Jeremy, push yourself back. You're going to push your butt back to your heels, go all the way down as far as you feel comfortable, and then come back up. All right. So at the top, he's maintained this good position. We saw a little bit of curvature at the bottom. Can you see that over there? This time, Jeremy, I want you to watch and go down slowly. Stop when you see your hips start to round a little bit. Right. Can you see that change a little bit? All right. So he's well below the necessary depth that he can count his rep if he were being judged. His hip crease is below his knee. So this is good depths of a squat. He typically goes all the way down, and we can see when that occurs, he starts to lose that curvature, which means his alignment isn't in the best position to accept the load. So we come back up, we find that spot. Now let's start just a little bit higher. Now what I want you to do is I want you to open your knees a little bit on the table, okay? And then kind of position your feet in line a little bit better, and then kind of turn your heels in just a little bit, all right? So what we've created is a little bit more of an open pack position of his hips. Toes are slightly turned out a little bit. Okay, nice and slow again. Slowly come back as far as you can. All right, and not a huge change. Come back up. So lumbar spine stays pretty good position. Tighten up those muscles for me now. Okay, nice and slowly come back. Coming down. Just at the very end where he's nearly ass to grass, hamstring to calf, he gets a little bit of rounding. So that I wouldn't recommend that he under load go that low. I'd say, all right, once you get to a good depth, come back out. If he's somebody who wants to ass to grass squat or, you know, go all the way to full depth, we can definitely work on that. But that's 95% of looks like your full structural motion before we get to that tilt. So I'd say that's pretty good. So just by adjusting the hip position on the table, taking away the motor control with the table, hands and knees on the table, we can see that we can improve his range of motion without affecting his lumbar spine alignment. So hopefully that can carry over to now standing up and squatting. So feet slightly turned out, knees slightly rotated out into an abductor position. Let's go and stand back up now.
All right.
I'll tell you what, actually, let's hop back up on the table for me. Let's pretend like we didn't fix that. Your feet were here, and we saw as you went down, we still saw a little bit of a curvature. So what I would say is, well, let's isolate out these joints a little bit. What I would do is I'd flatten his feet out a little bit, take away the stretch on his calf. That'd be one assessment. Have him come down. And now if we see an improvement in his depth, which happens right there, we can see, all right, so we had potentially some soft tissue or joint immobility at the ankle, which could have created the lack of depth in his squat. We played with his hips. That seemed to work really well. As he comes down, he can come down, 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 and just the very last little bit, probably not a huge difference in the hip assessment. He can get to that full, almost near full depth with his ankles unlocked. So we'll kind of look at that when he stands up to see if maybe we have some ankle issues as well.
So one of the things that we mentioned is that I was leaning back on my heels. Is that a lot because of the ankle tightness, or is that because of motor control, or that's just part of the process? We have to go through all these steps to figure that out.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So if you have a posterior weight shift as you get further and further, what's happening is your tibia is trying to translate anteriorly. Right, your knees trying to move toward your toes. Mm-hmm. And if your ankle and your soft tissue around that area starts to tighten up near the bottom, you lose that ability to anterior translate, which then means your body, as you go further and further, starts to posterior the weight shift. All right, and that weight shift going back puts more of that weight through your heels, which then potentially takes away some of that foundation. Your base support is no longer spread evenly amongst the whole foot, which is a huge important factor for getting under some load and being in control of it. And then being back more on your heels, you've lost the stability, which then increases your motor control recruitment, increases the intensity of that control to keep you in good alignment. And if that's not optimal, then we're looking at two potential issues or potential causes for dysfunction. So that would definitely be something we would need to clear and improve on as well.
Right.
Okay. And so starting back up, let's get you into your normal squat position that you did the first time we came in.
So Lewis, you put it on.
All right, yep. Get out of the way here. So feet, you said, were straight forward.
So the normal one or the one?
The first one that you did.
Okay, so normal, toes forward, knees about shoulder width apart. I'm kind of pressing out and then just go down.
Yep, squat down to what depth you typically feel comfortable going down to.
I think one of the things that I wasn't really tightening my abs. I don't know if, I guess that's important because when we were doing it on the table, I did. So
yep.
Let me tighten here. So I could definitely feel like I'm falling forward towards the end of that.
Yep. Okay, and so we found after about 3 reps initially that your right toe turned out a little bit. So what that likely means is as you're going down into that depth of a squat, right, if those bony impingement structures are coming in, having that lack of range of motion, your body's going to naturally kind of reposition itself to hopefully avoid repetitive trauma. So that slight toe out on the right was your femur realigning itself, the foot realigning itself to clear some of that space. Right. And so we found out on the table, on your back, opening you up into a little bit of abduction, extra rotation allowed you to reduce that pinch into deep knee flexion, deep hip flexion. So let's try that. Let's just do a slight turn out of the toes on both sides. Okay. All right. And then when you go down, in order to create that external rotated abductor position, I want you to try and really focus on keeping your knees in alignment with your toes. So typical cue would be shin bone in line with your second toe. Don't let your toes and your knees come out of alignment. So you never want to see your knees inside your big toe as you squat down. So once again, let's just start with that. Okay. We've kind of cued the ankles and the knees to go out and back up one more time and back up. All right. What'd you feel?
It felt more solid, like as far as my feet, but it's just different, so I'm not sure.
Right, so a new motor program, right?
Right.
All right, so if the old motor program isn't something that you want to kind of lock in, all right, the new motor program is going to feel a little off, which, you know, neurologically, if it's new, it's going to be something that you're going to have to more or less grease the groove on and just practice, 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 right? So, you know, the old adage, practice makes perfect, is actually incorrect. We want the perfect practice makes perfect. And so finding that ideal position, locking it in over and over and over again, hopefully will translate to better alignment and better carryover into the gym.
Great.
And so next, what we want to look at is, okay, so his depth improved slightly before he started to round. He still had some rounding at the very bottom, and so what we have to ask ourselves is it a depth that he has to go to? And if this is a guy who wants to, you don't try and change your patient's depth unless it's creating pain, unless it's creating dysfunction. So we're going to say, okay, when we go to the bottom and that rounds, that lumbar spine starts to round, we know that's not going to be an ideal position for your back to be under load. How can we fix that bottom position? Okay. And so what I'd say next is we can either load you and just see how that changes you. Okay. If it just the increase in weight, increase in load changes your form, kind of increases the motor control, increases the muscular activation. We'll see if that changes. So why don't you go ahead and go through. It's a, what are you carrying there?
Is it a 30-pound kettlebell?
30-pound kettlebell, okay. How are you holding it?
Goblet style.
Okay, right at your chest. Ideally, that turns into the logo that I would try and tell him to not lose, so he doesn't want that goblet to start to dip forward towards the floor, keeping that upright. This is the pretty popularized goblet squat by Dan John. A great functional squat assessment slash exercise that can get even the most beginner squat person going through some good reps and get a good exercise. So nice and slowly.
Again, the video you can see sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatformvideo.
Hold on 1 second. Let's play with get the feet right. So we adjust the feet, slightly toed out both sides. As you go down, make sure your knees are going towards the toes, second toe and shin in line with each other. All right, go ahead.
Okay. You can see right there at the bottom, but that's, like you said, almost.
Right at the very bottom. So he's well past, hip crease, just below knee. So if we're looking at, you know, power lifting ranges to get a squat rep to count, he's well past that range and coming back up. So the question is, do you feel like you have to go that low? Is this something that you want to train? Is this something that you feel like is important for you to go through? Because ideally, if you're going to do it over and over and over again, we want to try and optimize that position as much as possible. All right, what do you think?
I'm not a big fan of lifting heavy. Like I said, I don't care to lift, squat 400 pounds.
Okay.
I want to be able to squat down, pick up my kids, throw them up in the air.
Yeah.
Sit down, play with them, and
live life.
Be able to sit on the toilet when I'm old, so.
Yep. Okay. So the depth is important. So we need to make sure that we can try and improve that depth as best as possible. And if we can't fix 100%, we need to know that he knows how he can address it. And he also can know what he needs to do to, or notice what symptoms may be present if we repetitively do it. So first off, butt wink, is it, you know, the be all end all, the worst thing in the world if you squat? And the answer is probably not 100% one way or the other. Some people butt wink, live life, go about it and never have an issue. Some people butt wink and they feel like that's their problem. All it shows is that the body is accommodating its position. Alignment isn't what it was before. If you're not going to go super heavy alignment, then it's, or excuse me, super heavy resistance, then it's probably not going to be a huge issue. For someone though that is weight training, for whether it's, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, athletic development, strength training type of protocols, ideally we'd want to make sure that their alignment is ideal if possible. So if somebody's coming in and say, I need to get huge legs, tight jeans, and, you know, take, you know, 4 seconds off my 40, I would probably limit that depth to avoid that position and have them work through that range as long as their reps and depth are ideal and good, good standard. You, for the other hand, you want to play with the kids, you want to get down, up and down. I think we can play with this without having to totally limit your range. So once again, we're looking at the bottom of the squat, a little bit of butt wink. Everything looks good. Stop right there for me. And so ideally at this position, what you want to see, the alignment of his spine and the alignment of his shins or his tibia. If you put rulers and drew lines and took a picture, ideally, you know, he's having to hold it there. But ideally you see these two lines are parallel here and here. And that shows good alignment. Come back out of it. All right, so that's a good position. At that point right there, everything looked in good alignment. So as a coach, and you're looking at them from the side, and you can see that the lines of their shins and their back is parallel. That's about as much as you can ask for, and you want to maintain that. So as you know, we got to load these guys up in athletics, and what we did. How do you know how much to load? Well, a good saying is, you know, technique determines load. So if their technique is sound, and you continue to load them, and their technique stays sound, then you find that point where they're technique starts to waver a little bit, and you can reduce the load slightly and find that optimal dose to work on their adaptations that you're shooting for. All right, so he's got a little bit of a issue at the bottom of his squat, and so what I would say is, can we position him at that bottom of the squat and work on controlling that position? So I gave him an 8-inch box, Jeremy?
They're about maybe 12 total.
Yeah, 10 to 12. Yeah, it's about maybe 10 to 12. Okay, have a seat on that box for me. Just have a seat. All right, so ideally, we can see in the video, but what you can't see on the podcast, his hip crease is below his knees. The depth is pretty close to where he goes down, to where he's getting to that point where his spine starts to round. He loses that lordosis. He loses that neutral spine position. So we're going to see from this position if he's able to get out of that low depth of squat and back up without losing alignment. So we're taking away the top of the squat. We're taking away a little bit of that control and just putting it at the bottom. So a bottoms up squat, which is a great neurological motor program builder. So, all right, Jeremy, position your feet like you would at the top of a squat. So feet slightly turned out, knees in line with the toes. Okay, you want to always position your center of mass, which is right now your belly button and your chest over the base of support. So the mid of your foot, you want the whole foot to be able to push through the ground. All right, so on the video, he feels like he's in that position, straight line spine, he has it rounded. Okay, Jeremy, I want you to put your hands at your chest like you're holding that goblet squat. All right, and from this position, I want you to drive through the floor, lock in everything. If I come over there and punched you in the stomach, those muscles are ready for that. And I want you to drive through the floor and come back up. Good. All right, now sit back down just normal. Don't squat down, just normal sit. Reposition. Let's go a little bit slower this time. If you can go slow, then you've earned the right to add weight and go faster. So we want to make sure you can go through the full motion, a little bit more of a forward lean. He's flexing at the hip and not the spine. Drive through the floor, slowly come off that step. All right, go back down. So as you can see, there's a little bit of round there. So now we're asking his body to be in maximum control of his hips, of his pelvis, of his spine. So we're saying, all right, muscles from the bottom, from the most disadvantaged position that you can be in, can you do this load? Can you do this exercise? Which right now your load is your body weight, right?
All right.
So center of mass in that position, there's a little bit of loss of control. So let's just say we need to increase that activation, and I can't cue you enough to do that. We can play with center of mass position. We can play with motor recruitment. Grab that 30-pound kettlebell for me, Jeremy. So now he's got the kettlebell against his chest. When you add weight to the front of your body, that moves your center of mass forward. So no longer is it right at the belly button, but he can align himself before, whole foot through the floor. All right, lock in those abs like I'm going to punch you in the stomach. Nice and slowly drive off the ground and up all the way. Very good. What did you see in the mirror or in the camera, Jeremy?
I didn't.
You didn't see.
All right, so abs tight, legs
right, sure.
Straight, go
so
slow.
As a coach, what I saw a lot less of a loss of motion, a lot less loss of control. So less motion in the spine, good control from the bottom. Go ahead and sit back down. And so what we're adding to this squat is a good set of cueing. So verbally, I'm telling him what I want him to do. Tactile, I'm telling him what I don't want to see. By touching his low back, cueing verbally, get those abs to turn on, and then now visually, he's going to watch the screen. He's got a camera angle that he can watch his lumbar spine. All right, so get yourself positioned, toes out, knees in line, lock in those abs, stay tight through here, brace your stomach, nice and slowly come off the step. Very good. All right, what'd you see this time, Jeremy?
It looked good to me.
Yeah, it looked good to me too. I wouldn't say there's anything, a wow factor that stands out that I would say, nope, that doesn't work. Okay, sit back down and do it again. All right, you want them to know their setup. Just like when you're learning a new lift, have them go through the setup every time so that they can ideally get in that position every time without thinking about it. Okay, brace, position, align, drive through the floor, whole foot, slowly back down this time. Let's go slowly back down. See if we can keep that positive alignment. Very good. All right, so just adding a little bit of weight, changing his center of mass slightly forward, probably keeps him from posterior weight shifting. We could obviously check out his ankles a little bit more in depth to see if there's a lack of anterior translation because of tight calves, tight soleus, tight ankle joint. But with that slightly improved weight position, he's allowed to now go through that motion with any significant loss of control. Jeremy, what kind of squats do you typically do in the gym?
Typically, I'll do front or goblet squat.
All right, so front squat, goblet squat are both in line with moving that weight anteriorly. If he were to back squat, what we'll probably likely see is a lot of posterior hip shift, or probably a little bit more of a forward inclination of his lumbar spine is to keep his weight shifted or to keep the bar positioned over his feet. Ideally, you wouldn't want them putting too much weight through the heels with the back squat with that that weight posterior shift, that or just increasing that lumbar spine to keep that weight in the right position. So what I'd have Jeremy do, knowing that he wants the squat and we want to keep him from getting hurt so he can continue to play with his kids and live life, I'd have him start with high frequency body weight, just working on motor control, setup, getting his body in alignment every time, getting himself some cueing at home, whether it's a mirror or if it's a friend or if it's at a gym, that he can get in a position where he can see himself lock in that weight. Start with body weight and kind of work on keeping everything in alignment. So really focusing on the cueing that we talked about, get him in that position with body weight. He's a decent enough athlete that body won't tear up his muscles and create that DOMS that he won't be able to do it the next day. I'm looking for frequency. Initially, I'm looking for greasing the groove and getting him real comfortable with his setup and with the cueing that eventually will come in more importance when we start loading more and more and more. As we get more load, obviously reducing frequency, and then we can play with volume and resistance to match what you feel like are your goals for your exercise
training. Okay, so let me just kind of talk through. Whenever I'm doing it with the goblet or like the barbell on the front, it seems a lot easier. And you said that's because of my balance, because I'm not getting enough forward. So it changes the center of balance by having that weight there in front of me. But what I need to do is be able to do it without that weight and be able to find that groove that's comfortable. So for me, it's knees out, toes out slightly,
mm-hmm.
and then making sure I have a straight back, tight abs, my chest, my belly button are kind of over my heels, and then I need to maintain that position going up.
Right. So if we take away the weight, that now brings back your center mass a little bit back to your chest. All right. And so if for some reason you couldn't just at body weight maintain the position with the cueing and practice, what we're looking at is ideally something isn't allowing you to optimally position yourself. So with that anterior weight shift, or excuse me, that anterior translation, anterior movement, excuse me, of your center of mass with the weight, how can we replicate that? How can we change that? What I would probably do is, like I said, go a little bit more in depth at your ankles and look at, is there an inability to anterior translate to allow your center of mass to be positioned optimally over your base support? So can we not get you there? Okay, so you can play with it two ways. You can work on just stretching, or we can work on how can we reduce the strain of that closed chain dorsiflexion motion. You can play with toeing out even more, right? We can play with, which then takes away that in-range dorsiflexion motion. First thing I look at, because your hips seem to move through that motion fine, passively, a bit of a system table, and so try to find what's keeping you from that optimal movement. Experience for your body right now, so you don't have a good motor program set in. If through time and frequency you don't get this pattern down, we start to look at what do we need to address even more. Because yeah, you don't carry a goblet everywhere you go.
Right.
Right. Now, when you have kids in your hands, that's obviously shifts your weight. So your squat's going to be ideal when you got those kids in your hand, probably.
Yeah.
But picking things up from the ground in the garage, just knowing that you can kind of live life and do these things, minimizing risk for injury. We want to make sure that we can get that throughout any setup, any resistance, any load possible. So that would be my next step. If you couldn't improve your technique with a little bit more practice, would be to kind of start looking at these specific joints and saying who's keeping us from producing that optimal movement.
All right. So there's obviously a lot more that we could go into. Ryan talked about the ankle, the assessment there. He obviously told me I need to get my knee checked out because of the popping, right? But we went through the passive range of motion, which is what's going on without your muscles getting in the way, basically. Just saying, can your body move this way, just me doing it? And then there's the active, and he said, where I was on the quadruped, able to switch, able to test the hips. Is it that problem? Is it the calves? Is it the knees? And so we, in that stability, we're again testing out the structure. Once we know the structure is solid, or once we have an idea of which structure is causing the problems, and we can again focus some of the work on there and focus some of the adjustments, moving the hips or the knees out to adjust for the hips alignment, putting the shifting the body weight forward to adjust for the balance. One of the things in the podcast just recently, I was talking with dancers, and they said one of the things they look at for stability is the toe grip. Like, they'll have the dancers, if their toes are spread out, then they have a good solid base. But when they're compensating or when they're unstable, then they'll like try and grab the floor with their toes. And I noticed that too. Like, I'm trying to dig my toes into the floor instead of just like keeping them spread out.
Yeah.
And so if I have them spread out, then I'm a little bit more relaxed. I'm a little bit more stable. So it's one of the things that we didn't really talk about, but it's another cue that me doing it myself, I can look at and see, are my feet comfortable?
Yeah. And so that's your body telling you that it's having to work harder to maintain control, maintain balance. So if we're able to align you optimally so that when you're moving through that squat, motor control is not an issue, your body's moving optimally, muscles are in a good advantage position to create ideal control. When you're outside of that realm of control, whoever is going to step up to advance that control is going to be, you know, working harder. So it could be your feet trying to find that grip on the ground so that ideally you have your foot set up to apply force through the floor. If it's shifted in the wrong position, somebody else is saying, hey, I got to help out. How can I change that? Right? So we talked about adjusting the foot position to get that good feel of pushing your whole foot through the floor. You know, there's all kinds of different cueing and terminology, the tripod position, all the different things that you can use to talk about how your foot needs to be set up when you're loaded, when you're squatting. But I can definitely see, you know, once you're out of that controlled position, something's going to compensate. Something's going to have to work harder. And it could be your feet, could be your hips. And, you know, those are things that you ideally would look at. And if you are unable to determine that, you find a healthcare professional who can give you a little bit more in-depth assessment to figure out what's going on.
Again, this is my 15th, 14th year as an athletic trainer, and I definitely feel that I'm not completely comfortable doing that. That's why I asked Ryan to come out here. So, Ryan, I appreciate you coming out here, being willing to continually work with me, even if I'm a slow learner, right? And if you can do it yourself, then you understand a little bit better. So reach out to Ryan, or, you know, I like Arasti and some of the stuff that they've done, they've helped. So physical therapy clinic, another athletic trainer, go back to your college and ask some of the sports medicine professionals there to help you assess your squat, maybe even have them come out. I know if Ryan's going to come out again and talk with students about becoming a physical therapist, and he's done that a couple of times, he's willing to be on the podcast. So I was at a physical therapy event last night. And again, sports medicine professionals, they want to work together. They're kind of waiting for somebody to make that connection. And so I have a really cool platform with the podcast. I can do that. It's easy for me to say, hey, would you mind come talk? I mean, it's no big deal. But reach out, have somebody come talk to you, talk to your students, help you work for half a day, or go to their clinic and work for half a day. Because I know that I have the opportunity to go out there and do that. And Ryan was talking with my student here that's helping with the video beforehand. They have an opportunity for students to go visit and kind of observe for the day. So Memorial Herman will allow Lewis, who wants to be a physical therapist, a nurse, a PA, to just kind of shadow that doctor or shadow whoever it is and see. So again, as healthcare professionals, we got to be willing to make that bridge. Ryan, anything else about kind of close out this?
Yeah, so for you and I today, we found some dysfunction in positioning and alignment and control. But unfortunately, not everyone is as kind of clear cut and easily to work with and assess. If you have pain, if you have a history of injuries when you try and advance your squat, there's no reason that an exercise should cause you pain, should cause you any impairment. And so based off today's information, if you go through these assessments, but you're limited based off of pain, discomfort, you know, that's not something that you just magically work out and fix. That's something you should ideally check out, because what you don't want to do is continually aggravate an area, continually to build on dysfunction. So even if you can squat and you fixed your squat enough that you can add some load to it, you know, are you in an ideal position? Are you able to develop a program and a platform to develop ideal and optimal function? And so my biggest thing is, if you're non-painful and you're just learning how to squat, then great, we can work on that. And as long as you're not developing any issues, continue to practice that motor pattern and develop that confidence in your movement. If you're someone who has pain, if you're someone that does have dysfunction that you can't get rid of, seek professional help. See somebody who can give you a really good idea of what's going on so that you can get back into a gym or working on developing athleticism, improving your power, improving your strength, all those things without that limitation. So that'd be my biggest thing is take this advice, grab a tool, put it in your toolbox. But if there's some bigger issues that are lingering, definitely get as much help as you can so that we can, you know, avoid further issues and help yourself out.
All right, very good. I'll have Ryan's email address because he's not on social media. Are you on social media yet?
No, not really.
No, okay. So Ryan's still not on social media. So I have his email address in there if you want to reach out to him. Again, if you're in the Houston area, you have Memorial Hermann, great resource. Houston Methodist, great resource. Both of them have really good physical therapists and opportunities for us as athletic trainers to help. But there's a lot of people outside of the Houston area. I've talked to Scott Saylor before, and he said one of the reasons they had physical therapists come in was so that they can kind of show, hey, this is what we do. We do similar jobs, not identical, but they're similar. And so just reach out, ask somebody to help. And again, I've always had a very good response when doing that. So Ryan, I appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you teaching me what I was doing wrong and allowing me to understand so that I can help. Again, I got Lewis here. I'm going to have to be doing squats and I'm going to have to be training him. So there you go. For Jeremy, Ryan, Lewis, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/squatform. That is a wrap.